So yes, my name is Marilyn, and that's my husband Courtney. And for a long time, I wasn't living for the Lord. It wasn't until I was 38 years old, God just wrecked me. And I fell to my knees, and I had called out to Him, and it was real that time. There had been a lot of times in my life, in my addiction, where I had called out to the Lord, and then I just kept doing the same thing. Like, I just, you know, how you just, like, you sit there and you call out to the Lord, and then you turn around and you go get high again. Like, that's the kind of life that I was living. I grew up in a good home, and I knew better not to get involved in drugs and alcohol. And I knew I had, you know, I had family, and I had people that I could go to. But over the course of my life and through different circumstances, not having the Lord in my life, I was constantly relying on myself. And I was relying on the world, and I was relying on people and things. So I'm just up here today to let you guys know. It sounds like everybody here in the room has a relationship with Jesus, so they know how great and good that He is, how great He is. I am about four and a half years into my sobriety from drugs and alcohol. And other things. I still struggle with anxiety. Like right now, I'm like a ball of nerves up here. Anxiety and self-control and being in control of everything. But God's working on me with that. And again, those are things that He delivered me from drugs and alcohol. I have thoughts. I don't struggle with wanting to go out and get high, but sure, I think about it every once in a while. I might have a hard day, and I was like, oh, if I could just get, you know, something to take the edge off, right? I think about those things, but then I remember about how good God has been in my life, how good He has been in our life, and I could never go back to those things to disappoint Him. So I'm so nervous, you guys. But I'm just really thankful about how good God is. And it's so encouraging to be able to stand in this room with you guys and to hear you guys go around the room and talk about, you know, what God has done in your life and how good your week has been. Because we could focus on all the bad stuff. We have junk. You know, there's junk going on inside of us. There's junk outside coming at and attacking us. And we could focus on those things. And then we could, you know, then it'll just take us and spiral us out of control. When we don't focus on the Lord and we focus on circumstances and things going on around us. And that's why it's so important just to stay connected and focus on the Lord. And like I was saying before, for 38 years, I didn't know God, and I grew up in a good family. And, you know, my mom, she was a single mom. She worked a lot. And so we stayed at my sisters and I, we spent a lot of time, at my grandparents' house. So we were spoiled, and we usually got everything that we wanted. And if mom couldn't provide it because she was a single mom, she was trying to do the best she could. She wasn't always giving us everything we wanted. So we would just ask our grandparents. So at an early age, I learned how to manipulate people and get what I wanted and, use it to my advantage. And then I got really good at it, and then that just continued into my adult life. So my behavior was always very prideful and self-seeking, like that self-righteous behavior. What can I get from someone, and what can they do for me? You know, sucking that relationship dry. And again, it wasn't until I came to the Lord that I learned, like, hey, you know, take these relationships, the people that God brings into your life, you know, honor these people and think of them more important than who you are. You guys, I'm so sorry. I'm so nervous. I'm all over the place. But staying with my grandparents and oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Pam. I'm getting all in my head. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know what my problem is. I'm just crazy. See, don't ever think that to not get up here, because, you know, you sit here and you start thinking about things. You're like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm just speaking this out, because He who is in me is greater than what is going on right now. So I mean, God, He's just so good, and He's been so good in my life. And when Courtney and I, we were in addiction, right? And we were down in Florida. And we were living a really good life. He had a really good job. I was a stay-at-home mom. And we would party and we would use drugs. You know, it started in high school, using drugs here and there on the weekends and partying. And it just grew into the more money that Courtney used to make, the more we would want to party on the weekends, right? And then all of a sudden he lost his job and his addiction grew. And I was one of those people, I was prideful, so I was always hiding it. I was always trying to make everything look better than what it really was. Like I was better than what was going on and my life was better than what was going on. And never went and sought that help, you know, because of that pride that was in the way. And so everything started to spiral out of control. We ended up losing the kids. Our family, we were blessed. God was with us. And DCS didn't get involved, but his family came over. And they took the kids, and they're like, what are you doing? Move in with us. So his mom and grandma came and got us, and we went and moved in with them and the kids. And then we just kept doing the most, right? So what they were doing, trying to help us, just enabled our problem. You know, they didn't know it was going to do that. So we started using more and more. We were using in their home, getting pulled over by the police. Finally, he went to jail, and I went home, and they were like, nope, we're not having it no more. We can't have you guys here anymore. So that was the beginning of me starting to cry out to the Lord, was when I was at rock bottom. I had no one. I didn't have him. Because again, I didn't have God in my life, so I didn't know God as my provider. I didn't know to reach out to the Lord as my help and my rock and my sustainer. I put all that into my husband. And when he wasn't around and I lost all of that, it finally broke me enough to where I cried out to the Lord. But I still was getting high. I was still using drugs. So that was more important to me than anything else. It became more important than my own self. It became more important than my children. And I had so much shame and so much guilt in my life that I didn't think, I figured, oh, this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. And I'm never going to, I don't deserve to get better. I don't deserve to get my kids back. They're better off with the grandparents. But God was with me. And he kept showing up. He kept showing up, but I didn't realize it. I didn't see it. Now I know. Looking back, I can see where he was always there. He helped me out of circumstances. He blocked situations. Things could have been a lot worse than what they were, and they weren't. And then one day, his mom, so we're in homelessness, and we're in trap houses, and this is going on for about 5 years. 3 of those years, I was out on the streets, sleeping in hotels, trap houses, in my car, behind buildings, like on the cement, homeless. And then one day, his mom shows up at one of the places that we were at, and she's like, all right, I'm getting you guys out of here. We're going to get you guys in recovery. I had done detoxes multiple times. I had done all the things, right? Again, all the things, but not anything with Jesus in my life. And that's why it's so important, that hope of having Jesus, the hope that he gives us. Because the minute that God used his mom to walk into that house that night and pull us out and say, you guys are getting in the car, the family has all talked, we're taking you somewhere to get help, right? I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go get help. You know, I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm on the bathroom floor. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. The drugs, the alcohol, I finally had enough. That's when God came in, and he came in quickly with her, and she took us to what we thought was a rehab. And we're going, and then she gets us so far up. We're down in Florida. She gets us to Georgia, and things fell through because she had been trying to get us to go for, you know, a couple weeks. And things fell through. We lost our beds. We lost our spots because they didn't hear from us. So, and this again, this is what had to happen for me to see God and then accept Jesus, is that we're driving and she pulls over and she gets us a hotel room, drives us halfway, and she says, okay, we'll get on the road the next morning. She's not there the next morning. She's gone. All of our stuff, the little bit that we had in the car, she puts off on the side of the road. And we're like, where's your mom? And she had been a God-fearing woman, and she had been seeking and praying and talking with the family, and found out we had no more beds. We weren't serious. And she said, you know what? there's no beds, they're not serious. And she's like, I heard from the Lord, and the Lord said, you have to hand them over to me. And she didn't know what that meant. So she then, in that moment, she handed us over to the Lord, and she put her hands up and she said, God, they're yours. I'm already crying. She's like, God, they're yours. We've tried everything to try to help them. And unless you step in and they see you, we know that they're not going to make it. So on that journey at that hotel there in Georgia, that is when the Lord showed up in my life, and I acknowledged him. So he had been showing up, but I wasn't acknowledging him. And I acknowledged the Lord there that day. And he stepped in and he rescued us. He had the hotel workers that were at the hotel. They could clearly see that we were detoxing, right? And they're looking at us like, oh my gosh, who are these people and what are they doing here? And what is all the commotion? And why is there these bags just like thrown out to the side of the road, like the hotel? And, you know, this woman takes off and what is going on? So they call the police. They're like, what's about to happen here? And so they call the police and the police show up, and it was a mess. So the police show up and the police are like, hey, you know, you haven't committed a crime. There's nothing that we can do. And the paramedics are there and they're like, well, just say that you're suicidal and you can go up the medical side and you'll have some shelter. You'll have some, you know, you'll have some food. And from there, the hospital can maybe help you guys. So I'm like, yeah, right. I'm not going to commit suicide. Now, had there been plenty of times in my addiction where I was like, you know, I just want to kill myself, and I had overdosed, on pills, and I had an alcohol and all those things. And I had been in the hospital multiple times, and God was there. He was saving me. He was keeping me alive. He kept breathing breath into my lungs, because he had a plan and a purpose for my life at that time. So, you know, all those times that, you know, I tried to end my life, you know, here this time, you know, this is probably even worse off, because at least when I was in Florida, you know, I had those people. You know, they weren't good people, but I still had places to stay. I had people, you know, I had the drugs, I had all the connections. So you would think that, but at that time, the Lord, you know, he was strengthening me in that, and giving me a peace beyond understanding that I could never, ever explain. And I hope all of you guys in here have had the experience of the peace of the Lord come over you, because I'm telling you, there's no high better than the high from the peace and that the Holy Spirit gives you. And that peace that he gave us that day, I looked at Courtney, and Courtney's like, I'm doing it. Let's go to Walgreens. It's across the street. You know, this is it. You know, what are we going to do now? Because he was broken now at that point. He had always had his family enabling him and helping him out. And he's like, okay, this is it. So we both were broken, and that's God's perfect timing, breaking us both at the same time, because we enabled each other also. When he was doing well, I would bring him down. And when I was doing well and wanting to get better, you know, we were never on the same page at the same time. So God ended up getting us both at the same time and helping us at that moment. So here comes, you know, he's using hotel workers. They're bringing us. So the police leave and the paramedics leave, and he's bringing, you know, hotel workers, and they're like, okay, so let us help you get something to eat. We're going to comp you a room. The maintenance man comes to our door like an hour later after they comp us our room. And, you know, we're looking at each other like, what the heck is going on right now? Right. And I'm like, and when the lady's like telling us, like, we're going to comp you a night, we're going to try to help you figure out what you're going to do next, because we had told them we're on our way to a recovery home in Indiana. So they're like, okay, we're going to comp a room. I'm looking at him. He's like, what the heck is going on? I'm like, this is God. This is Jesus, right? And he's like, yeah, right. And we get into the room, and he drops to his knees, and he starts crying out to the Lord, and he starts praying, and he's just like, okay, because he had been mad at God. You know, he would cuss him out, and he would, you know, do all those things. And same thing with me, you know, just being mad and frustrated, because we wanted the Lord to do things for us, but we wanted to keep getting high. We wanted to keep staying in our mess, because there was all that shame. So God, he just picked us up right there in that hotel room. That maintenance man, he came over and he was like, if you guys are serious about going into recovery, he's like, I will buy you a bus ticket to get you the rest of the way from Georgia to Indiana. But you got to do the legwork. He's like, I'm willing to help you. He's like, but you got to do something about it. So we went down there. We got on the computer there in the hotel room, and we're looking up stuff, and we get a hold of a place in Indiana. It was the first one that happened to come up on the Google search in the area that we were wanting to go to. And the guy answers the phone, and he was just like, yeah, if you guys can, he never said we were accepted. He's like, if you guys can get up here, you come by the office. This is the address, and we'll have a talk with you. So God then used that man, and he bought us bus tickets. He drove us an hour from the hotel, okay, to the bus stop, and says, and it was at a Waffle House, and he ended up getting us something to eat at the Waffle House, and then he left, and you know, he said, you know, I hope everything goes really well for you guys, and you know, and sent us on our way. And we had maybe an hour or so waiting at that Waffle House. And the enemy is always, whenever you're trying to get well and get better and do something, or you're trying to live for the Lord, the enemy is always, like, he's always right there. You know, he's just always, like, on your back, constantly trying to get at you. So we're sitting there at the Waffle House, you know, and it's, like, in an area of town where there's just a lot of liquor stores on the block, and people are, and it's summer, so people are, like, everywhere out walking around. And, you know, when you use and you're in that addictive lifestyle, you know where to go, who to say, you can pinpoint somebody. And he's just like right there on our backs, and we're like, okay, you know, we got a little bit of cash in our pocket that some of these people gave us at the hotel, so let's just go get a little bit and do something before we get on the bus. And we didn't, and thankfully, because then we would have been stuck, where were we at that point? I don't know where we were at, somewhere in Georgia or Tennessee. We probably wouldn't have made it into our recovery, and the enemy would have gotten us very longer. God has, you know, sucked us in longer. But God, again, he was with us. He was with me. He was strengthening me. And that is so much of my testimony, is looking back over my life, how much God was with me. I know I'm focusing a lot right now, like, on the part of my of the little bit of the addiction, and God pulling us out and rescuing us and delivering me along the way up to Indiana. But he has been with me through so many circumstances through my life, and has kept me from things that, you know, that's only by his grace and his mercy. You know, I shouldn't be standing up here even able to talk to you guys. You know, he's just so amazing. So yeah, when he when he did that for us, and we got on that bus, we didn't go and spend that cash and get anything. We spent it, I think, at the gas station getting some drinks or something. We got on the bus, and that bus got us up to Indiana. We ended up going to Huntington, to the Indiana Dream Center, and we went in there, and my parents and that are close to Huntington here in Fort Wayne. So, okay, I'm back home, right, where my mom is and his dad, and I'm like, I'm not going to no recovery home. You know, all that pride. So God just did all this. He delivered me. I didn't use that money for drugs or alcohol. You would think that I would be stopping at the bus stops getting alcohol. No, God delivered me. He stopped me from doing that. But then I sit here and I forget about everything God had just done. And I'm like, I'm at my mom's house. You know, I'm close to I'm close to my mom. I'm going to my mom's. You need help. You need to get in that recovery home. If I get away from you, I'll be just fine. I'll get a job. I'll be okay. I didn't want to admit, because I was so prideful, I didn't want to admit that I had a huge problem. And I was in so much in denial. So, like you said, it was one step to Jesus. I thought I was going into a recovery home. I thought I was going into a detox and doing all the things. No, it was a Jesus home. And it was one step to Jesus. And the minute I walked in the door, my leadership, those ladies and those girls that were in the program, they came around me and they prayed for me. They just showed me so much love that I've never experienced before. And I'm like, who are these weirdos, right? I'm like, what you guys, okay. So, but it was great. That's what God knew that I needed. And they were tough on me. You know, I sat there and I was cocky and I was arrogant and I said these things and they called me out. And I'm like, who are you to, you know, what the heck? But again, that was that peace of the Lord coming over me, and he did. It's like I wanted to say stuff and he like shut my mouth, right? Where I couldn't even say anything. And finally, I just started to hear from God, like, these are good people. These people are going to help you. You're finally in a safe place. This is what you've wanted. This is what you've cried out for. And I am here. I'm that rock. I am that helper and that refuge, right? When we cry out to the Lord, he comes to us when we are in trouble. And right there, I started to work the program. I started to do the year in the home. And God, I mean, He's just done, like I said, so many more amazing things. He started to give me that confidence that I didn't have. He started to take away that shame. He showed me my identity in Him. You know, I accepted the Lord when I came into the house that day. Well, not that day, but shortly after I accepted Jesus into my heart and I was baptized. And I'm telling you, I've never been the same since. Like, I just love Jesus so much. I want to talk about Jesus to people. I'm blessed now where I get to help other women that have been in addiction to be able to walk through their recovery. I get to walk alongside them. I get to encourage them and let them know just how good Jesus has been, because I experienced that when I was in that home. These women came around me and they just showed me, they met me right where I was at in my junk. They met me right where I was at and they loved on me. And Jesus just continued. You know, He started, it's that onion peel. You know, you hear about the onion and then He just starts to peel away at us. And as we start to seek Him and we're worshiping and doing devotion time with Him, we're abiding in Christ. And He just does this wonderful work in our hearts and in our minds. And it's just so cool. It's so awesome. And over this time of these past 4.5 years, God has restored our marriage. So Courtney and I have been together for 22 years. We've been married for 22. Yeah, some of the brain cells, they're still coming back, right? We've been married for 22 years. We met in high school. And so, you know, we were young. We were young and we were toxic. You know, he was the bad boy and, you know, I was the Girl Scout, right? Well, not in high school, but you know what I mean. Like, I don't know how to say it. All I know is that he was the bad boy and I was like, woo, woo, woo. All right. This is going to be fun. Right. Cause my mom was a single mom. I spent a lot of time, you know, at my grandparents' house. So I was kind of, what's the word?
Sheltered.
Yeah. And then I get to high school and I meet all these different groups of people. And got him over here and start hanging around with him. So our relationship from the beginning was, you know, it was toxic. It was messy. It was a roller coaster. It was in and out of trouble. And I was always, you know, trying to hide all of that in our relationship. So it wasn't until we came to God that God, you know, He restored our relationship. We cheated on each other. We did all these things. And we were horrible to each other. We started to say such nasty things to each other. And it makes no sense that we stayed together through our addiction. But now on the other side of the blood of Jesus, I see what God was doing. He was like, let no man separate what I have joined together. And He joined us together before we accepted the Lord into our life, but He still knew what He was doing. He has that perfect plan, you know, for our lives. And He was like, they're going to be a mess, but they're going to learn from it. And their marriage is going to glorify me. So that's what we're, you know, we work together to try to glorify the Lord in our relationship. We like to pray and worship together and be strengthened so we can tell God about how good He's been to us. And He's also restored our relationship with our kids. So earlier I had told you how our kids were taken away from us. The grandparents took away our kids. We went into homelessness. And during that time when I had been in jail and he had been in and out of jail, our kids got separated. Tyler stayed in Florida with his side of the family, and Peyton ended up coming up here with my mom. And so, you know, they're teenagers. This is like middle school age and high school age that they're seeing their parents fall apart and go into this addiction. So they were super, super mad at us. And Peyton should have, and Tyler, both of our kids, they should have, it's only because of the love of God in their hearts, right? They had accepted the Lord way before we accepted the Lord. And it was the love of God in their hearts. They had already started to learn what forgiveness was by hearing the scriptures. They had experienced the joy of the Lord in their lives. So they wanted to live out those scriptures. So they started to forgive us. And there was Tyler was real quick. He was like, yeah, my parents, you know, they're getting help. All right. You know, he's talking to us from Florida. Peyton, she's like right here in Fort Wayne. She's like, nope, I want nothing to do with them. You know, she would talk to us a little bit on the phone, but she wouldn't come and see us. But now today she's, you know, she's a, we're, It's God mended and put everything back together. Those years that he talks about in the Bible, every word in scripture that he says, believe it, it is true 100%. I can't tell you how many scriptures we have seen and we have lived and we have experienced those miracles in our lives that, you know, he will restore what the locust took. He'll restore those years better than ever that they were. It's like, I don't even remember a lot of things that had happened and how it went down because, you know, a lot of it I can blame on the drugs and being messed up, but God erases a lot of that stuff. So you can just start over fresh. And he has given us chance after chance. And, you know, Peyton, she's here. She's 19 now and Tyler's 22. And she's back in our lives. She ended up coming back and living with us, that last year and a half that she was in high school. And, she doesn't live in our house anymore. She lives with friends. But, you know, we're a huge part of her life and she calls on us now. Like, she's like, I'm thankful you guys, you know, we're different than who she used to know. Mm-hmm. You know, we've changed so much. She's like, you guys aren't the same, but I'm glad I have my parents back, even though we're a different version of her parents because of what Jesus has done in our life. And she's in our life and now our son, he's married and we have a daughter-in-law in our life. And like I said, we got to do our Christmas with them just this past week. We had met, they drove up from Florida and we met them halfway in Tennessee. And you know, our daughter-in-law, she saw us in our mess, right? Because they knew each other from church and they were all friends before they started dating. So she saw us in our mess. And she just said to Tyler, we were talking to Tyler yesterday on the phone and she was like, I actually miss your parents, you know? And that's only because of the work of the Lord in our lives. That's the only reason why we're standing up here today after that he pulled us through overdoses and has gotten us through, you know, just horrible, horrible experiences. I'm wearing a shirt right now that says, do not worry, you know, like Dunkin' Donuts. And it's like, it's true. It's like, don't worry about anything. It says, God will make you whole. Am I whole right now? No, I'm far from being whole. But every single day, Jesus, you know, he's our hope. Jesus is working in our lives and he will make us whole. And he'll bring you through any circumstance. If it looks like you cannot get through this circumstance, you know, don't give up. Keep pushing through, persevere and endure because he will. He'll get you through it. He'll get you through it and he'll make us whole one day when we're up there with him. When we make it home, we'll be whole. But until then, we just keep enduring and let him sanctify us. Just keep walking with him every single day. You know, I may not read a devotion every single morning when I get up. I try to be very like religious about every single morning, you know, praying and spending that time with the Lord. But it doesn't always happen. But I always find moments in my day. I have the Bible app on my phone. I have a Bible on me at all times, whether it's in my purse or my book bag. You know, I have ways of just pulling out and spending, you know, if I need a few minutes, I'll go into the bathroom. Like, hey, like, just give me a minute. I just need to spend time with the Lord, praying, listening to stuff in the car, worshiping. You know, I cannot sing at all. Like, I am horrible, right? But I get down in the car. Like, I don't care. I'll be sitting at the stoplight, just getting at it. People be looking at me. I don't even care. I'm like, it's Jesus, you know? It's like, because he is so, so good. So don't give up on the Lord. He's never going to give up on you, even when it looks like all else, like, you know, has gone to heck in a handbasket. Like, God, he is with you. So just keep holding his hand because he's right there holding your hand. He's carrying us through very difficult situations. You know, he carried us all the way from Florida, all the way up here to meet him and to get help. So, my husband's really good. He likes to get up in front of people. He has a gift of getting up in front of people and speaking. The Lord has a great anointing on him. So I'm going to let him wrap up a lot of what I said since I was nervous and kind of got all over the place. He's going to come up and say a few things because that's what God did. He kept us. We're one now. We're one. So what God did in my life, he's also doing in his life and strengthening us. So you want to come up here and say a few things? I know, I get nervous, so.
You don't get nervous, girl. You ain't fooling nobody.
I do.
You know, thank you, baby.
Here.
Hey, let's give her a round of applause, real quick, huh? You did a good job, babe. So, yeah, don't let this whole sugar and spice and everything nice thing fool you, man. I woke up to some right crosses in the day. This girl was not dressed up in pink and Dunkin' Donut shirts back then. But that's what the Lord does. You know what I mean? The Lord, when the Bible tells us that you can't experience the kingdom of heaven until you've been reborn. And when you're reborn, you're new. You're something new. You're brand new. You've never walked into this before. It's a brand new room that you're in. It's a brand new day. Every day is something new. Yeah. Every experience is something new. When you think that you have got this, when you think, well, I remember what the world taught me, you're already on the wrong track. Because when you have to come into this humble so that the Lord will guide you through your days. You know, we can't complain about not getting the promises of God answered in our lives and the blessings of God when we ain't living for God. You know, when we decide to pitch a tent outside the kingdom, we can't complain that we ain't getting the benefits of the kingdom. It's a choice. You know, it's a choice that we have. And you have to be willing to walk into that newness that God's got for you. So, you know, I just want to wrap up. This is going to be quick, but I want to wrap up with, you know, last time I was here, I recognized some of the faces when I gave my version. I think my version is a little more exciting than Mary. I got 17 people instead of 7 helping us at the hotel. But, you know, she likes to point out that I exaggerate a little bit. When I was here last time, someone came up to me afterwards and they made a comment. They're like, you know, you make it, your testimony made it sound like it's just so easy. Like it's just so easy. God just came in and did it. You know, and I thought about that for a while. I really did. I mean, I thought about it. I prayed about it. I searched scripture for a while. I was like, man, am I interpreting this wrong? Am I seeing it wrong? Am I only seeing it one way or another way? Like, God, show me what this is. And he showed me a couple things. So I'm actually going to share the same scripture I shared last time with everybody as I wrapped up, because I feel like this is my testimony. This is our testimony as we're coming out of this. It's in Psalms 107, and it's starting in verse 1. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he's redeemed you from your enemies, for he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for the great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. And the more I thought about this, like, I can't change my testimony, right? As much as I was thinking about that comment that was made to me, I can't change it from this. This is what it was. We did nothing. We did nothing other than cry out, Lord, help. And he came in and made a way for us. He came in and carried us from the east to west and north to south, from almost hungry and starving and thirsty, and brought us up to a place that was safe. That is what it is. But he also showed me this. In Isaiah chapter 43, you've got his victory promise, his promise of victory. It's Isaiah chapter 43, his promise of victory. It starts in verse 14. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. And I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm going to do something new. See, I have already begun. Don't you see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. See, for some of us, God didn't just step in and say, come on, let me take you up to safety. For some of us, God said, you're going to keep walking through this wilderness, but I'm going to come with you. I'm going to make waterways in the wilderness. I'm going to protect you as you come through the wilderness. And it's easy for us to say, I have people come up to me, like church people. We call them church people, right? They've been in church their whole lives. And in their mind, they don't have a testimony. They'll come up and they'll say, man, I don't have a testimony like you do. And I'm thinking, and I think some of y'all can probably understand this statement, but you better be praising God you don't have a testimony like I do. You be praising God that you didn't have to go through all of the hurt and all the stupidness that I had to go through to bring me to this place. You got to experience it like Samuel. You were born right into it. You were dedicated right away. You've been brought up in the Lord. You spent your whole life like that. You need to be praising God that you don't have a testimony like mine. But the reality is, I look at them and I think the same thing sometimes. I was like, man, it would be nice to not have gone through everything that I went through. And that's why God says don't envy each other. That's why God, because God has our own path. God made some of us white for a reason, some black for a reason, some brown for a reason. He gave us blue eyes, brown eyes, dark hair, black hair. He gave us all that stuff for a purpose. I can't see that God, when he mixed us together, when he created me, that he just kind of threw some stuff in a cauldron and said, let's see how he turns out. I think that God knew exactly how I was going to turn out. I think that God knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He knew exactly what color eyes I was going to have, what color skin I was going to have, and what I was going to be going through in my life, because he's the beginning and the end. Many of us who have been locked up, we've all read Donnie Foster's book, that book about Face Down. So just because I'm in chapter 3 and I don't know how that book ends, doesn't mean that Donnie doesn't. Right? Donnie is the author. He knows exactly how that story ends. And that's the Lord for your life. Lord knows how our life is going to end. He knows exactly how you're going to get to what you're going to go through. But sometimes we need to shed some of that pride. Sometimes we need to shed some of that unforgiveness. And we have to come to a point where we're willing to just throw our hands up and say, Lord, help, so that he can step in and do his thing. When Peter started sinking in the water when he was walking on water, and he took his eyes off and he started to sink, he didn't just ball up. He didn't just ball up and feel bad for himself, whine about everybody around him, whine about all the big waves and the big wind. He didn't do that. He didn't start swimming towards the boat on his own. He didn't call to his people. He cried, Lord, help me. And the Bible says that he immediately reached down and pulled him out. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where we need to come to a point. We need to stop worrying about everything that's causing us to do something. And when we get in those spots, man, we just need to cry out to the Lord. He'll reach down. Everybody in here has got a testimony. Every time I come out here, I hear an amazing testimony from somebody. You know, and then I tell other people about it, and then other people say, oh, man, I was down there. Well, you should have heard the one that I was there. I mean, God's speaking through all of you guys. He's speaking to you every week that y'all come up here. And he's trying to reach the one or the two of you that just haven't had that moment with him yet. And he's saying, listen, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. You listened to him when they said that they had good dope. When they said they had good dope, well, we came running. We trusted every word out of their mouth then, but now all of a sudden we have trouble trusting them. Trust the Lord, man. Let the Lord guide you out of this, because God, he will take you to a place of milk and honey if you just let him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we appreciate you guys. Appreciate your time.
Praise out.
Oh, praise out. Okay. All right, well, Father God, I just we just thank you.
Hallelujah.
Not only for your mercy, for your grace, for all of the love that you give us, that we sometimes can't even give ourselves. We thank you for all of that, but most of all, we thank you for just being you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for being our creator. We thank you for thinking about us before we were even born. For knowing that you have a purpose for us, and for using the unusable, for forgiving the unforgivable. You say that you sent your son to die while we were still in our sin. That's love. That's love. And I thank you for that, Father. And I pray that you reached every heart in here. You tell us that your word does not come back void, God. So I'm believing that everybody in here was touched by you somehow this evening, and they're going to leave different from the way that they came in. And Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your sovereignty. And most of all, God, again, we just thank you for being you. We love you and we honor you. Pray protection over everybody as they leave this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.